Tonight, the slippery slope begins with a feature being removed from a current console. Plus, everyone else is talking about the iPad, so I guess we will too. Live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of April 4th, 2010. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
Yes, the stupid iPad. Well, actually, it's more Apple stuff that we're talking about. But hello, everybody. Welcome to an Easter Sunday edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live here on All Games Radio. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It's chat.allgames.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat, from probably our smaller chat room tonight. It is a big holiday for a lot of people. I will be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our phone line. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show. That is all one word, or you can email me at blackwolf@allgames.com. And yes, for those that have been listening to the show for a while, know that I left out a part of that. Apparently, and I was not told this, I found out last week, the toll-free number, we had a toll-free number where you could call in. It worked in North America, and it was owned by the All Games Network. And we'd been using it, and a couple other shows on the network used it. It was mainly used by All Games Interactive. Well, as a lot of people probably know, Scott Rubin's All Games Interactive went off the air about 2 years ago. So he stopped using the phone line. But he still, you know, graciously still kept it going for, you know, myself and Gametopius and some other shows to use it for our show. So basically we had one specific All Games radio number, All Games Network number for everything. And little did I know, last week he canceled it. So we no longer have a way for you to call in toll-free. The only way you're going to be able to call into the show a little bit later on is Skype. I'm going to decide what I want to do. I do have a toll-free number for my Friday night show, but it's on a different Skype account. So it's I'm not sure if I want to just use that same Skype account for this. I haven't decided. I'm already paying for it, but I'm going to have to see what my options are. But for right now, Skype is going to be the only way to call in. And, you know, I thank All Games for the use of their toll-free number. Now that I have one of my own for my other show, I know how much it costs and stuff. And I understand that, you know, he's trying to get some stuff going on that will net him some more money. Because that's one of the things we're going to be talking about, the iPad. And if you're wondering, Scott Rubin, his new project right now is a new, I think it's going to be a video podcast called App A Day TV, where he reviews iPad apps and I guess iPhone apps as well. It's at appaday.tv, and it's actually him and Diane Mazzotta. If you remember from G4, she was the original host of Filter, and Scott was the original writer for Filter in the first couple seasons. So, you know, they've already had a working relationship, and they're going to be doing an App A Day video podcast about iPad and iPhone and all that stuff. So that is kind of what's going on with Scott, if you haven't been keeping up and haven't seen his million tweets and stuff. You can find out more about it on Twitter, on his Twitter. But it's appaday.tv is the site. But the iPad, it came out yesterday, and no, I don't have one. I also never got an iPhone, and, you know, it wasn't until the iPod Touch came out that I finally picked up an Apple, one of the Touch products. I had an iPod 4th generation. I bought the black and white one about a week before the iPod Photo came out, which had color screens. Yeah. Oops. So the iPad, it's out now, and it really depends on who you talk to in terms of if people like it. The Apple zealots obviously think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. In fact, it can actually slice bread somewhat. It gets dirty when you do it, but it does everything. And, I mean, it's got a big, bright, beautiful screen, but still it's a touch screen. So gaming on the device is not exactly the easiest thing to do, because you can only do things that are only done on a touchscreen. Even the DS has buttons. you know, for more precise measurement. The only button that's on the iPad is the home button, which is on the same on the iPhone and the iPod Touch, and it's on the left side if you're holding it vertically or horizontally, whichever way that is. I don't know. So you can accidentally hit the home button, and the home button is the automatic quit this app button. So while you're gaming, if you're trying to do something and very quickly and you accidentally swipe that button, whoops! At least, though, I do have to say this. At least it's a button that you can press on the Android, because I've got a Motorola Droid. You can actually hit the search button, and as long as you're like a part of your palm or something just grazes that button, the search bar comes up, and it just pauses whatever you're doing and all that stuff. So at least it's a real button on the iPhone and not like the Droid. But I got my Android 2.1 update, and it's neat. But not really. I haven't really done much gaming on the Droid. Not that much out there right now. But the iPad, I'm going to look in chat and see if anybody actually bought an iPad yesterday, if they were out in the lines or fought people or made fun of people or whatever. Spyro says that you're just going to have to go buy it all over again in a couple of years. That's the thing, is the iPad right now, it's not... The iPad that came out today doesn't even have the 3G. It only works over the Wi-Fi if you're going to use it over the internet. The 3G version comes later. But, you know, you obviously know there's going to be a camera that's going to be on future versions, because there's no camera on this. And there's some other things. It doesn't do stereo output right now. So you need to have, like, speakers or a headphone to do stereo output, which it may not be a big deal to people, but you know, the DS and the PSP have stereo output without external speakers. And also, the Blue Guy says it has no USB, it's got just the iPod dock. Now, Nutman says that, you know, he watched it and it comes with a USB cord, but it goes into the dock. It's a proprietary dock, unless I'm mistaken, because that's the way the iPhone and the iPod Touch work, is that there's a proprietary dock that goes into the USB port of your computer, and that's how you sync it. But you can't, like, plug in, you know, what I think some people want is, you know, to take their wired Xbox 360 controller, plug it into the USB port of an iPad if it existed, which it doesn't, and then they could play games on their iPad using an Xbox 360 controller. Because, you know, the controller is actually bigger than the iPad itself. Nutman says the iPad seems really pointless to me, super expensive, and it really doesn't do anything I can't already do. I can see that it might in the future figure out what we need it for. Like, for me, the iPhone was the same way. Personally, when the iPhone first came out, I was like, eh, why do I need this? It's cool. It's pretty. But even when I bought the iPod Touch, I bought it when the iPod Touch came out, the first generation iPod Touch came out. And, you know, so there were no apps, unless you jailbroke it, and I did jailbreak it at the time. So, you know, but there were no apps. It was just, you know, you could browse the web, and on the iPod Touch, unless you jailbroke it, you couldn't even check your email. But now I use my iPod Touch every day. You know, it's sitting next to my bed, so I can, you know, when I wake up, I can, you know, check and make sure, like, you know, nothing's blowing up on the email. It tells me how quickly I need to get to work. Or, you know, check news, check the weather, instead of, you know, so I don't have to look out my window to see what the weather is. It's really nice to have now, but I wouldn't have known what I'm using it for today. I would not have known when the iPhone came out. So it's going to take a little while for the product to mature, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to have iPads eventually, but not anytime soon. Prower35 said he wants an iPad until he found out it had no PDF support. Disgaea says if a PSP adds touchscreen, I'm dropping Apple altogether. Or rather, Prowler35 says no PDF support native. There's no Flash on it either, I don't think. But that's because everybody hates Flash. So we're actually, you know, segueing into an Apple story that I wanted to talk about. That's why I kind of brought up the iPad in the first place. It's about, you know, the main complaint that a lot of people have is that it's a touchscreen, right? You know, and I said, you know, people would want to plug in like an Xbox 360 wired controller to be able to play games. Well, some people started working on such a device for your iPhone, and I guess the iPod Touch, but it was a controller pad that would go around the device, and it would plug in through the dock, and it would be recognized as an external device, because they can do that. You can create devices and stuff. And essentially what happened is that they announced it and started making units of it. They started doing some production. They're a small company. And then 6 months later, lo and behold, Apple filed a patent for their design. Pocket Gamer reports that Craig Rothwell, inventor of the iControl Pad peripheral, that's what it's called, the iControl Pad, has been popping up in which has been popping up in various stages of development since 2008, most recently running Super Mario Kart and PSX for iPhone. It's a jailbroken iPhone, obviously. Toegak would be so proud. Has hit out on his development blog against recently revealed Apple iPhone peripheral patents spotted by Patently Apple. In a post published on the 2nd of April, which was 2 days ago, and entitled "An Extremely Sinister Development," Rothwell writes, quote, "We were very, very surprised to see that Apple have allegedly filed a patent for our original iControl Pad design some 6 months after we revealed it," unquote. The Apple patent was originally filed in Q3 of 2008, while the iControl Pad first got covered by Pocket Gamer in May of 2008. Quote, "This was announced on April 1st, and at first we thought it might be a joke aimed at us, but now it's been reported on several other sites on the 2nd, unquote. The inventors of Apple's patent application are listed as Brett Allen and Sanjay Gadkari, I believe. Sanjay Gadkari, and he is apparently a patent attorney employed by Apple. So basically, Apple is now patenting their design, and since they were the first to patent it, they can tell the iControl Pad guys, yeah, sorry, it's our design. You can't you didn't try to go patent it, so you can't prove that it was your design. And this way, Apple can control the market on these control devices, which, if you think about it in terms of a consumer point of view, which is going to be the opposite way of what you're thinking when you first hear the story. You hear, you know, little developer creates something, big bad corporation comes in, steals it from them, and there's nearly not much they can do. If Apple releases a device, it is most likely to be universally supported by all the games, and it's going to, you know, basically there will be a standard, which Apple is very big on their standards. As an iPhone developer, I can tell you that the UI has to conform to their standards. You can't do anything crazy in terms of button placement. Some apps do, and you know, they kind of, I've seen people, you know, have to redo their app a couple times because it doesn't behave the way Apple thinks all of its apps should behave. So if Apple creates the device of the, you know, the iControl Pad or whatever, then it's going to be a standard, and they'll probably put stuff into the game kit the SDK, the game kit application interface, and you know, so it could be supported easily. If the iControl Pad guys do this and not Apple, then you have the chance of all these knockoffs, and suddenly now if you're an iPhone developer, you have to work with all of these different devices, and you have to support all of these different control pad devices. So for a consumer, you know, you may purchase one of these devices and not all your games will work with it because it's not standard. You know, I can't see, you know, for instance, you know, Square Enix, who put Final Fantasy 1 and 2 on the iPhone so far. I can't see them trying to support 10 different control pad devices made by 10 different companies. But they would support an Apple device that was actually sold by Apple in the Apple stores, and that would have the highest rate. So for a consumer's point of view, it actually makes sense for Apple to kind of say, no, we're going to do this, not you. But from the I'm rooting for the little guy and big bad corporations are evil point of view, Apple is extremely evil, and this is another in their long line of their injustices. They are most definitely not Google in terms of not being evil, even though Google can get evil too. Nutman says, I've never liked Apple products, no particular reasons, but I've always gone with the competitors. I'm not an Apple person myself. I mean, the only reason I own a Mac Mini is so for the iPhone development that I do at my day job. And even then, I run it in a VNC window on my PC. So all I'm doing on the Mac is Xcode, which is the development environment for an iPhone. And everything else, you know, I'm not using Safari. I'm not installing any other Mac programs other than Xcode. I prefer using real computers and not toys, but that's just me. But I love the iPod. I love my iPod Touch. And, you know, I liked the iPod before the iPhone came out, and I'll probably eventually like the iPad. And unfortunately, nobody in chat is actually listening to the show, so I'm not going to be able to read any chat comments. They're all talking about some other stuff that we're not even talking about. So the news story, another news story that I kind of wanted to talk about. This is a slippery slope. We're kind of getting off one evil corporation going into the other. Sony, which is one of our favorite evil corporations to make fun of. Sony has done something that kind of scares me. Because I don't know what's next, okay? They have removed a feature from original PlayStation 3s. And I checked, because I've had this conversation before, because obviously next week Xbox Live is shutting off original Xbox games. Not next week, the 2 weeks, April 15th. And we had a conversation in chat about, you know, is this now false advertising? You know, if you have a game, you know, on your original Xbox that is multiplayer only, you know, do you suddenly now have a paperweight? Is it false advertising or whatever? And I actually looked, because I actually have a game that I thought was multiplayer only. Well, it is, the Steel Battalion thing, but it's also System Link play. So you could still theoretically play the game, you just couldn't play it online, but you can play it System Link. But I checked, I pulled out my PS3 box, because I had a 60 gig launch day at midnight, and I pulled out the box that it came in. There is no mention of this feature anywhere on the box, so technically it's not an advertised feature. Now, other people advertised it and talked about it and stuff, and we're talking about a feature that you most likely, unless your name is Toagak, you probably don't use this feature. It's called the Other OS feature, and basically what it allowed people to do was install another OS to another partition of the internal hard drive in the PlayStation 3. So you could install Linux. Now, it was not a fully... you couldn't access everything in the PS3. Basically, it was great for like research projects and computing, because it's got a cell processor, and you could actually have programs that use the cell processor for lots of computational things. There were some cloud computing things that some universities were doing. It was a very powerful computer in this, you know, $300, $400, or actually at the time $500, $600 machine that you could just go buy, because they were everywhere. You could just go down to Best Buy and buy one, and you've got this, you know, cell processor server grade machine. I mean, the fan in the thing is a server grade fan. It's not a desktop fan like what's in the Xbox 360. So people were actually putting these in server farms and actually running, you know, computational research projects on it and everything. And they would do this through the Other OS feature. They also probably will not be affected by this on their current systems, because they probably don't upgrade. But what they did is, I think it was Thursday, the firmware 3.21 came out on the PlayStation 3. And all it did, it didn't add any features whatsoever. It took away the Other OS feature, and it took away the ability to access your content. So if you had stuff on that portion of the hard drive and you upgraded to 3.21, you could no longer get to that partition. I mean, you could take the hard drive out, and I'm sure you could get to it if you plugged it into like another Linux box or something. You could mount it and get your data off of it that way. But you could not open that partition. You could not go in there and say, you know, I want to get to my content here or run my programs here. So this is kind of scary, because this is a feature. Granted, it wasn't advertised, but it was a feature that existed in original PlayStation 3s that they took out. And this is a little bit different from, you know, Microsoft changing the complete UI, which they did. You know, Microsoft has taken things out of the Xbox 360 as well, but it was replaced by other things. You know, the blades and all that stuff. So, but you know, they didn't actually remove functionality. They have now removed software functionality out of the system. So the slippery slope argument is, what's next? What are they going to remove next? Are they suddenly going to, you know, say, oh yeah, we know you've got the emotion engine in your PS3, but you're no longer allowed to play disc-based PlayStation 2 games on your PS3, you're going to have to purchase them from the store and play them from your hard drive. Are they going to, you know, what else could they take away. You know, oh yeah, you know, we know there's these those memory slots in the front, you know, memory cards and stuff, but there we found out that hackers could put something on a compact flash card and put back on the other OS feature. So we're going to disable those. You can't access those anymore. You can't access your compact flash card or SD card for those of us with the systems that have those ports in the front. What's next? I didn't check to see if those were actually... Well, actually, I think those are listed on the back of the box. They actually say that it takes those kind of media. But that's kind of what scares me. I never used the other OS feature, and I personally never planned on using the other OS feature. I did have the PlayStation 2 Linux kit, and I installed it, and I said, now what? And I just basically used the hard drive for something else after then. So I didn't see that much point in it. Yes, there were some homebrew developers that could like port MAME to it and sometimes do some of their own stuff, but you didn't have full access to the GPU, so you couldn't create, you know, PS3 caliber games using the PS3 Linux kit. It was mainly more for people just to say that they did it, you know, because they put Linux on their toaster, or, you know, people who were in a university setting. They're not playing games on it anyway, so they probably have no reason to upgrade the firmware. But now, and they've kind of been in this situation because there is no other OS feature in the Slims. So you can't buy a PS3 today that has this feature in it. So basically, the PS3s that are out now that have the other OS feature, as long as they're not upgrading the firmware, that, you know, until somebody finds out a way to downgrade the system, you know, these researchers are going to have to actually get real cell computers. I wonder, you know, if maybe you want to sit on your PS3 that has the other OS feature and not play games on anymore, not update it, and maybe you could make some money on eBay in a couple, like, 6 months or so when somebody's really looking for a system that has the other OS feature in it. Buchikawa says, not my PS1 support. Please don't take away my PS1 support. Spyro hates Sony for their updates. Toagag hopes they get sued over that. See, that's why I checked. They didn't advertise the feature, so they can't get sued. It's not an advertised feature of the unit. So, I mean, or they could get sued, but I think Sony would win because they never promised it. It's not in the back of the box. They probably cover it in the manual, which would be the kind of the gray area, and that's where the technicality where people could get in and actually sue them for it. But it's not on the box of the PS3. I actually pulled it in. It's sitting right here, and I could not find it in English, Spanish, or French. Prowl35 says, from all the research I did, having Linux on the PS3 could have opened the door for the entire system to get hacked. They don't want another PSP. But see, here's the thing is that, you know, if it could, I think it would have happened by now. I mean, the PS3 has been out since 2006. You're saying nobody's been able to crack the PS3 using that other OS feature in 4 years or 5 years. Or maybe are they getting close now and that's why they're removing the feature? Derek H. says, so what Bobby is saying is that this affects zero people. No, this affects gamers who also want to have Linux on their PS3 for whatever reason. This does affect them. Either you stop playing games online, and you also can't play future games because they're going to require you to have at least this update, so it's going to be kind of like the Wii, where it'll update from the disc if you don't update online. It's going to either you don't do that or you lose your Linux. Prowl35 says they are getting closer, so that I think this was a preventative measure is what they think. Burr says the only way you can crack it at the moment is by zapping the chip. How many people have the tools for that? I know a guy. He's got tools for that. Bujikawa says, you know, it was weird that standardizing the OS, it didn't say anything about it until it was downloaded. But they do actually gave people the warning. They say, we're removing this feature, blah, blah, blah. This is what's going to happen. This is, you know, this is what you can do. This is what you can't do. You know, get your affairs in order before hitting accept. But what's funny is apparently, like, last month, Sony Computer Entertainment Europe actually said in an interview that they're going to, you know, continue supporting the other OS feature. So I don't maybe Sony Japan and Sony America and Sony Europe are not all on the same page when they talk to people. Shocker. CJ Alford says, what's with Sony completely changing their game plan on the PS3 at this point? They've gone against just about everything they originally focused on. Yes, and they were in last place when they originally with what they originally focused on, and now that they have changed, they're actually doing quite well. Maybe that's why they changed. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take phone calls on our Skype line only. Unfortunately, no more toll-free number. That was discontinued. Thank you very much, All Games, for the couple years that you let us use it on your dime. It's much appreciated. I'll figure out something, I'm sure. But we'll be taking calls about either the iPad or the PS3 or your comments on it right after the music break. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Hey, it's the Rob B. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on the All Games Radio Network, the only station that schedules events during its own shows.
That's not even an April Fool's joke. That's actually happened. Like, they're like, we're going to do a big online tournament, 8 p.m. on Sunday. They haven't done that recently, though. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Like I said, I'm opening up our phone lines. It's Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. It's the only phone line we have. I'm going to see what I can do. Maybe I'll just say that, we'll use the Friday Night Gaming Skype, which means you'll have to, if you're using Skype, you have to, use a different Skype name, but then we'd use that toll-free number because that does work on this computer. And maybe I'll just consolidate it then and stuff. And also, then you could leave voicemail on that number. That would be great. But right now, we're still just using regular old Bobby Blackwell Show. It's on Skype. So you either have to have a computer with a headset that has Skype, or if you have an iPhone, there's a Skype app, or if you have Android, there's a Skype app, and you can call over that, or you can use your PSP. There's ways you can call in, but unfortunately not with the toll-free number. We've been talking about the iPad, if you've had that, or the PS3 removing features, or, like I did mention this in passing, yeah, the original Xbox service is going away. They're shutting it down, and on my Friday night show, Friday Night Gaming, we are running Halo 2 this week on the original Xbox to kind of give it a goodbye send-off. And I had like this great plan in my head, but I needed, an 8-bit cover of a certain song, and nobody's made one. I spent like an hour searching, so I'm going to have to figure out. We're going to try to do something kind of special. I've got my old Xbox. I was in the beta of Xbox Live back in the original, that's how I have Black Wolf is my gamer tag, which is full. But, I was actually in the beta of Xbox Live, so I actually have that original disc and a lot of their original promo videos of what they imagined Xbox Live being. Kind of like what they did with Natal recently, where it's like, somebody's trying on dresses and stuff you never would see. I'm going to actually put that disc in, and we're going to actually look at some of these initial promo videos of how they envisioned Xbox Live back in 2001 and see how close they came here in 2010. When they're shutting down the original Xbox stuff. But yeah, Xbox Live, I actually remember we'll go ahead and just talk a little bit about Xbox Xbox Live, some of the early days. The early days were actually really fun. The beta disc had MotoGP on it. And that was kind of that was the game that we all used, and it was back before the jerks came on. It was very enjoyable to play random games. They really heavily emphasized the voice modulation, which they kind of don't anymore, but where you could act like a little girl and stuff. And I think Whacked was one of the other games. The first real big game that came out was Mech Assault, if anybody remembers that one. Mech Assault was like the first big Xbox Live game, and also the game that allowed people to soft mod their Xboxes. It was enjoyable back then, and then, the kiddies got on, and it became the monstrosity that it is today. But, I have very fond memories of playing actually really golf games on the original Xbox, just playing them and chatting with other people. I think Tetris Worlds was our big phone conversation one, where we would just, before the party system, we would sit in, like, a Tetris game or something and sit there and play multiplayer Tetris and just, like, BS about things. Buchigawa says, here's a question. April Fool's jokes. IGN had a good one. I knew Blizzard had a few lackluster ones. Any other good ones this year? Going back to the iPad, I actually really liked the ThinkGeek one. They had a desktop arcade where it was a dock for your iPad that had had a joystick and two buttons, and you would stick your iPad in, it would be like look like a little arcade and stuff, which was fake. But ThinkGeek has a tendency of actually making their April Fool's jokes. I actually own their first April Fool's joke. The only tie I own is their 8-bit tie that they made as an April Fool's joke. And enough people said, hey, we want this to be made, so they actually made it and sell it even to this day. So I really liked that one, the iControl pad. MXT wants to talk about some history, and I actually remember this. So this is actually a good topic. MMOs. We don't really talk about MMOs all that much on the show because I don't play any today. I want to play Star Trek Online, but my computers aren't good enough. I learned that in the beta. So I'm waiting to get my new desktop, which is coming pretty soon. I got my tax return. But he wants to know if there was a war about EverQuest versus World of Warcraft. EverQuest was the second big MMO. Ultima Online was kind of the first one that took everybody by storm. And then EverQuest came in and was the 800-pound gorilla. And it was, at the time, it was by Varian Interactive. And we'll get to you in a second. I just got into a story. We got a call, but I went ahead and answered it. So just give me about 2 minutes to finish the story. And basically, EverQuest was the big 800-pound gorilla in the room. And everybody's like, nobody's ever going to topple EverQuest. EverQuest has 800,000 players. Oh, my God. You know, or 800,000 users, which is nothing nowadays. But back then, in 1999, 2000, whatever, everybody, thought nothing's ever going to take down EverQuest. EverQuest is here to say it's going to be American institution, blah, 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 blah. Then Blizzard announced that they were going to do World of Warcraft. And I remember everybody, not just EverQuest fanboys, were like, yeah, the RTS people are going to try to take down EverQuest. Yeah, good luck. Have fun storming the castle. And everybody was kind of making fun of Blizzard for getting into this space. Because how can you take down EverQuest? How are you going to be able to take that down? You can't. EverQuest is huge. Then World of Warcraft comes out and builds momentum and, has 50 times the audience of EverQuest. And nobody really talks about EverQuest anymore. Did they try to fight back? They had, content, new content, and they put out more expansions and stuff, but not really, because the point was that EverQuest was a harder game. World of Warcraft was an easy version of EverQuest. EverQuest was about the grinding and, getting the best gear and partying and all that stuff. It was a hardcore game. World of Warcraft took the hardcore out of it and put the fun into it, and, they dangled the carrot just far enough to where you would be wanting to get to that carrot. So World of Warcraft basically was EQ light is what we called it when it came out, and that was the recipe for success. So we do have a call here on the line. Finally, Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this? Hello?
Hey, man, it's Jim Sally, man. How are you doing, buddy?
Jim Sally, what's up? What's on your mind? Are you like on a speakerphone or something?
No, man. I walked into my garage real quick. Hold on, I'll go back and say hi.
We can't. Hey, buddy, we actually can't understand you.
You can understand me just fine, Bobby. You know you can hear me just fine.
It's very okay. Tinny. It sounds like you're like in a long elongated room. But yeah, I'll try to listen carefully, and if there's something, I may ask for clarification. So what's up? What's on your mind?
I own a PSP 2000, and I do Skype on it. Actually, you just have to buy the special Sony Skype headset that comes with a little remote control that plugs into it, and then update the firmware on it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I was wrong. Basically, PSP 2000, if you have their little headset, you can run Skype on the PSP 2000. But since I have a 1000, that helps me none.
Oh, sorry. Also, have you beaten Final Fantasy 13 yet?
I have not beaten Final Fantasy 13 yet. I am on Chapter 10. Which is, if I was on the Xbox 360, I would have just gotten onto Disc 3.
Oh, so you're just a little bit further than me.
Yeah, I'm basically right before the part where it actually stops being so linear. I'm almost to that point.
We have a little bit of spoiler talk at all on your show? Oh, shut up.
It hasn't. I think the game is still a little bit too new for me to be really wanting to do spoilers, because it is a long game.
You're right. Well, you know what, man? I'm going to get off the line because that's really what I want to talk about.
All right. Thank
you. We'll talk about Jeff another time. Take care, Bobby.
All right. Thank you.
Later, buddy.
See, Skype works. He was just in an echo chamber. So, see, I'm looking through chat to see what people were saying about my little EverQuest story that I just threw out on the fly there. I was a guide in EverQuest, so I was, you know, when you were upset in, like, 2000 or 2001, when you were upset and you were on the Valenzek server, which was a team PvP server, I was probably one of the people that you talked to when you really wanted to talk to somebody from Sony. I was the guy that had to tell you, no, you can't talk to him right now because he's busy. And then I got hated. So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento. They are back this week. They did a special episode last week. We like to check in with them to see what they're up to. They say that they are ready, so we're going to see if we can go ahead and get them on the line and talk a little bit about what they're going to be talking about tonight, because I know that they've probably got more to say about PAX East and things. While I'm waiting for them to pick up, MXT says, I remember seeing a lot of EverQuest 2 hype. I'm assuming it didn't go as planned. It was still... By that time, they could not take down the World of Warcraft juggernaut. But what happens is, basically, when I say, you know, I keep bringing up that we never thought that anybody could take down EverQuest, but somebody did, and then now people are saying, we never thought anybody... We don't think anybody can ever take down World of Warcraft. I say, well, yes, somebody will. It's just a matter of when. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Did I catch you off guard there?
A little bit. That's okay. We're running a little behind tonight, and it's really, you know, it's the weather's fault, honestly. I don't know if you've heard, but there's this crazy stuff going on in California right now. There's been two earthquakes in the past couple hours. Luckily, none of it affected us, but obviously our thoughts to those that it might have affected, although it sounds like from what I'm reading, everybody's okay. Like, the worst of it was Baja, Mexico, which, you know, one of our listeners, Zach Deft, is in that area, and he was tweeting, so
I saw that.
So, and most of the, you know, San Diego would be the heaviest hit area, but apparently, and I'm just now finding this out, 9 minutes later, NorCal had an earthquake in Santa Rosa. Now, that one was only about a 4.1, which is, that's, you know, nothing. Like, you know, you can't even feel them if they're under, like, 3.5.
And apparently, two more aftershocks just occurred.
Oh, my gosh.
I just heard them. I just heard them in the background there.
Oh, yeah. Dark Sakura. And here's the funny thing. Dark Sakura and I are both sick on top of everything else. I came down with con plague after PAX East. I don't remember if the subject came up on our call last week, but I really started coming down with con plague on Sunday, and I haven't been able to shake it for about a week. And Dark Sakura, now this is the first time I've seen her since I got back from PAX, so you can't blame me for giving her con plague, but she somehow has her own con plague thing going on. So I don't know what's up with Dark Sakura. Loki,
I have the plague.
Loki ain't even here.
Stupid rats.
So it's a wacky show tonight, Bobby. It took me, I kid you not, 3 hours to get here from the bay tonight. Usually it takes me about 1 hour 45. I mean, it's just that crazy out right now.
And see, it's all sunny here, and you know, I have wasps invading my house, that's all.
I know. Usually it's the reverse. Yeah. Usually, you know, I'll never forget the story. One of my friends who works at a GameStop about out in the Midwest in Kansas called me once, and he's like, Rob, there's like a tornado outside, and I'm kind of freaked out right now. Like, I just kind of calling to say hey, and you know, I don't know what to do with this tornado. And I kind of looked outside, and I'm kind of like, you know, my response was, it's sunny here. You should move back here.
Yeah.
But I guess no matter where you live, it's always something.
So how about Yar's Revenge?
How about Yar's Revenge? Damn, I thought I had you earlier this week during the challenges going back and forth. But sadly, the past few days, I haven't had a lot of chance to play. But you know what I find funny about Game Room and my performance on Yar's Revenge? I find I do better on games for Windows with a 360 controller plugged in. And I think that might be because it's okay to sit that close to the monitor, where it's not okay to sit that close to the TV. And I think being that close to the monitor kind of gives you a certain level of precision you don't have otherwise. It's really funky.
Yeah, see, and I had another challenge. Like, I don't know if you've probably never had Ukulele Shima. He was an AGI regular. But he's apparently, like, bought all of the arcade games.
Oh, wow.
And he has gone through and smoked me on the two that I have. And I'm like, man, I hate you.
Wow.
So,
the only other challenge I got was an Asteroids Deluxe challenge from one of just another gamer that's on my list from forums from years ago. And yeah, I smoked that one. But I don't think anyone really tried. Like, it wasn't that. Like, my score was like 8,000. It's not that impressive. I think if people tried more, they'd probably beat it.
The thing about Asteroids Deluxe that got me was that I can't see it on my screen.
Really?
It's extremely dark.
Interesting. No, it works fine for me.
Yeah,
you can't change the settings or anything?
No, there's no brightness. I mean, I'd have to, you know, adjust the brightness on my TV probably. Now, when I ran, because I did actually install it on my laptop.
Yeah, so I was going to ask.
I did that, and it looks great there. I can see it just fine. It's bright and everything, but when I play it on my TV, I can't see anything. I can see my ship, but I can't see any fast-moving objects.
I haven't played it a lot on the TV. Most of my Asteroids, I think, was on the computer, but that's very interesting. But yeah, I would say Xbox 360 a controller plugged into your laptop is the way to go.
I'll keep that in mind, but I smoked you anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the only time I'm ever going to be able to say that, because like the next time we have a challenge, you're going to smoke me, and you'll be here giving me the exact same stuff.
And it's weird. I've never been better at Yara's Revenge. Like,
yeah,
this stupid little not contest has somehow made me a better Yara's Revenge player.
Yeah, because I've owned the game. Like, I've got it on my 2600, and I can actually play it there. But I learned a lot more about the strategy of the game playing it on Game Room. And same with Astro Smash, which is the other game I bought. I'm actually a lot better at the games now than I was when I owned the games as a kid and, you know, owned them for the past couple of years.
Well, you know, you can watch videos. You can watch videos of the top 20 people on the scoreboards, which I think the number 20 player has, like, at least last time I checked, was like 170,000, which isn't that far off from where we're at. We're going to get there.
Yeah, I think. I got what? Mine's like 135,000.
You're getting there. I broke 100,000. I was excited. But then you can watch, I think in the challenges, you can watch videos of other people playing the challenges, which is somewhat the coolest part.
Yeah, well, I scouted you. When you beat
me,
I watched your replay to see how you did it.
Oh, interesting.
Because you upload the replay, so anybody in the challenge can watch your best run.
Yes,
so,
that is true.
You know,
so you learned it was eating the pegs to get, or eating the shield to get a higher score than just shooting it.
Right, and that was what I wasn't doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and so, but I learned that. Now, what pissed me off is that one time when I was trying to beat your score, I triggered the Easter egg. That's in Yara's Revenge. By accident. I was so pissed, because that ends the game right there.
It does, but I am impressed that you can shoot that stupid thing as it's moving through. Like, you know, when you watch the top 20 videos, the way they get the really high scores
is you shoot it,
a little swirl in midair. I can't do that.
Yeah,
I don't know how to do
that. I can do it most of the time. What pisses me off is that either I shoot it while it's in midair, or I miss it and he reappears right as my laser hits him. So I still get him, but I don't get the 8,000 points in the extra life.
Don't. See, that's what I need to learn how to do. I'm not going to be able to beat your score until I learn how to do that successfully. And I will just have to wait. I guess I'll just have to wait for Burger Time to come out on Classic Game Room for me to have a game to be good at.
And they're not going to give us any new games until the end of April.
Yeah, well, hey, I warned you last week, remember? They had once said the whole, like, yeah, it's going to be weekly releases, and then I got that guy on the PAX East floor to say, well, it might not be weekly, but we're looking at regular release. I'm like, oh, shoot, they're backpedaling.
Well,
what
they said, the official post on the forum said, yes, they will be weekly releases, but starting on April 30th.
Interesting. Maybe they need time to, like, fix the servers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, told the fact that they go down right when I'm ready to upload my score, little bit ridiculous. Like, that's one of the big things they need to figure out a fix for. Otherwise, Game Room's neat. Like, there's a lot of neat things to like about it, but there's a lot of just little things that are just so dumb.
And $3 is – or actually, you're paying $5 for each game, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's okay. I honestly, I've played Yara's Revenge more than any other game this week.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, you know, I'll pay $2 for a Rock Band song, and I'll play that maybe 3 or 4 times, and if it's a 3-minute song.
Exactly. No, it's okay. Like, I think, you know, I probably have played Yara's Revenge more than most any other game that I've played in a very long time. So I'm okay with the price. That doesn't bother me. And the fact that, you know, I not only have it on my my Xbox, I have it on my PC, and I have it on my laptop. You know, it can kind of go with me anywhere. Mm-hmm. Although what it won't do, I found out, tried logging into my boyfriend's house this weekend into his Xbox on my account. So I thought, oh, well, because I'm signed in on my account, it ought to work. Nope. I did not. I carry the license for the games over. Although I could have brought up my laptop and played it there. Right. How does that work? I don't even know.
So wait, so when you put your account on
Alan's computer, yeah.
Oh, on the computer, and you signed in with your account, it didn't let you buy the...
Not,
you
can, 360. I meant 360. Okay. Yeah, when I, you know, and we'll do that sometimes, and it works with other games. Like, mm-hmm. any arcade games he owns that I don't own, like, for instance, he has Castle Crashers. I don't even have that. But I can play Castle Crashers on his thing and earn achievements and everything, mm-hmm. just like I had bought the game, right. if I just signed in with my own ID, because it's his console.
But you couldn't play... Because I've seen that that does work, because when we did it on Friday Night Gaming... Since it was the same console, I was actually able to put Astro Smash and Yars' Revenge in Friday Night Gaming's arcade.
Interesting.
Because it was the same console. And it could he, I could play it there, get medals, get achievements, all that stuff.
You were on the same console, I get it. Yeah. No, it didn't work. If you go to different consoles, it doesn't work. Even though computers, it doesn't matter. Weird. There's a lot of these weird, odd things. And then the whole token thing. Don't get me started. Like,
that's
get
a ripoff.
Get a system that makes sense, especially because they don't work in a ranked mode. You don't earn medals with it. That's the one huge downfall. You should be able to pick classic or ranked, especially if you're paying for it. I mean, it's one thing if you're using the freebie tokens from other people playing.
How do you buy tokens? Because I've never seen where you buy the tokens.
I think if you go back in after you do a demo, I think there's an option that comes up that says buy another demo or something like that.
No, well, that's a one play session. And if you and I've done that when you, it says buy play session, that's 40 micro, that's 40 space bucks. That is a ranked mode.
Oh, is it?
So you pay the 40 space bucks, you play one ranked game.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah,
okay.
I actually I had like a account like back when you got a new console, you had to get a silver account and they reimbursed you the points. I still had 40 points left over on a silver account, so I actually tried it on that. And yes, it's a ranked mode. You get on the leaderboards, you get medals for it, but you only get one play.
Well, that's better than what I was thinking. So, okay, that's good at least. So then the other tokens are just kind of throwaways.
Yeah, basically it's so you could play a demo again.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Which, you know, if you don't care about the rankings and everything, especially for a game like Adventure.
Right.
Or Combat, you know, one of those games that doesn't really have a lot of that stuff, it might be okay.
Yeah, I don't recommend people actually buying the like Adventure or Combat or something, especially because you can't play them online multiplayer.
Yeah, and that's
Save your money for the ones that actually have leaderboards.
Yeah, that's where a game room works best. Just the old fashioned 80s arcade games with good old leaderboards and replays.
So, other than game room, what else are you guys talking about on PAX East?
Well, we will talk a little bit about PAX East. I mean, obviously, we had the show taped out east, so we probably won't say a whole lot else on it, although I'll talk a little bit about it on the show tonight and take any questions listeners might have. But then we want to get into some of the news and some things, interesting things that did happen at PAX East, including a theft on the show floor. That's kind of fascinating. And talking about another type of crack and hack going on with Major Nelson's account. We want to kind of get to the bottom of why the heck would somebody want to do this. We're going to get into that a little bit tonight. Probably be a little bit of a short show for our listeners tonight, but with two hosts sick and one host out, it's, yeah, it's not a happy Easter at OLR headquarters.
Well, good to hear from you. Get better.
Yes. Thank you.
And don't fall into the ocean.
We will try our best. Thank you, as always, Bobby Blackwell, for having us on your lovely program.
Thank you so much. So that is it. OrangeSoundsRadio.com, Orange, or here on All Games Radio. They are coming up right after us. And now I'm coughing. Thanks, guys. I got your con plague all the way from out here. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio. You can call in and be a part of it. You can actually call in. What's funny is the Rob D actually tried calling in during the OLR call. That's too late. You need to call in when I'm spending 20 minutes going and feel free to join us in our community at allgames.com, or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, if you wish. But we could not do the live show. We could not even make it work at all without the help of our live chatters, which were kind of a help tonight, but it really depended on the timing. So thank you, Billy O.K. Burr, DC Nate, Derek H, Loserly, The Rob D, Binary 667, Burning Paper Sun, D5T, DeBlueGuy, Havoc 978, Heck, Kitsune, Mako, Maximilian, Pandalicious, Shadow Next Gen, Shadows Liar, Stone Raider, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wylan, Matt, Ake Ripper, Alphican Anagram, Amaze, Satsuma, Bacon Bits, Bower CTU, Buchikawa, Brad from Pod Culture, Channel Z, Cedabria, CJ Alford, Decipher, Disgaea, D-Man, Doomplague, Dungeon Buster, Frank Branches, Havoc 978, Kazan, Nuxonic, Lord Cypher, Maginomicon, Melta General, MXT, Necromoss, Nutman, Prowler 35, Punchy, Ranma, Ruben, Sky, Spyro, SSJ100, Matt, Subzy, The Time Dilation Dude, TM95, Toagak, What Up G, Wilcon, and Zappy. So that's it. We're out of here. I'm going to go wallow in my loss to Shima, as he completely smoked me in Yar's Revenge. He's going to smoke me in Astro Smash, and I hate him for it. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.